Hello and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, issue number 38. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm Cody.
And you're Cody. You're Cody the co-host.
I guess I am, yes.
You
officially.
Are. Yes, damn it. I find that the show works better in a three-person structure. Two regular co-hosts and then the extra person coming in to talk about their favorite nerd activity. And god damn it, Cody rivals my own nerdiness. So it's about time I sit in the dusting chair and I get schooled. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I invited Cody to join me permanently here at the brothel, and he says, well, let's give it a trial run and make sure the time commitment's not too much. So if you like the way Cody does things, I want you to tell him. Go to the Rancor's Brothel page on Facebook and say, we want more Cody.
Yes, sounds great.
If you don't do that, I will come to your house, and I will put my balls on your mouth while you're asleep.
Whoa.
Just saying. Not you, Cody. I mean, the person that doesn't say you, Cody. or say nay, Cody. I don't care. Just vote. What is it?
We
Rush
like feedback.
Says? Yeah, we want feedback. Thank you. Speaking of feedback, feel free to give us a 5-star rating and review. And I also want to go ahead and plug my wife's show this week on Follow Networks, Music to Your Ears. This Thursday, which is February 13th, she's doing a pre-Valentine's Day best love songs, breakup songs, makeup songs, songs to, you know, bone to. In that case, it's Kiss Me Where It Smells Funny by the Bloodhound Gang. It's the only correct answer. No, on the Mad Chat page, the Follow Networks page, there is a section for you to leave a comment and let her know what your favorite song is of those four genres. Like I said, my favorite breakup song, like the breakup song of choice for me is always Puddle of Mud, She Hates Me.
It's a good song. Good song.
Oh,
great music video.
I listen to that nonstop when I get dumped. Give us your 2 cents. Give us some feedback. That's something we're doing here at Follow Networks. We're getting ready to start a new comic book that we want to be completely audience-driven. We want you to add the plot line as we go along. So you can do that by going to www.followthe.tv, signing up on the email listserv, because that will allow you to be a part of the discussion and to give your input into a printable comic book that we're hoping to tour next year. So, you got a voice and you want to use it, put it out there, do it. And I'll tell you what, we start making money, there's a profit. If you've given input, you will see a return on your investment. So, guys, do it.
I like it.
Yeah, and dude, Cody, you should totally get on there. It's wicked awesome. It's a time travel story, so get to thinking.
Oh boy, everybody loves time travel.
Yeah, get out your sonic screwdrivers and your flux capacitors and let's figure something out here.
Alrighty.
sorry, I'm sipping a beer here. You'll excuse me.
Ooh. No problem. I was late to the call because I went downstairs to get a Coke, and my wife was like, Matt's calling you. It's like, oh, damn it.
No! Are you going to the upcoming Ash comic show?
I can't. There's no way I can't because it's literally less than 2 miles from my house as opposed to downtown.
I have proposed to Natalie a family trip to the Ash comic show the end of February, and then it's right up. There's the what's that place, the pickle place called?
Pickle place?
Yeah, Natalie, what's that pub we went to?
Oh, Stack Pickle? Yes.
We should all go to the Ash show and then go to the Stack Pickle for a lunch afterwards or dinner.
That works for me.
So good. If you are on the northwest side of Indianapolis, slash the west side of Carmel, go to the Stack Pickle. It's amazing. They have the best goddamn burgers.
They have some really good food. Pub trivia too, I believe.
Oh,
I don't know
if
that location does, but a lot of I think there are two or three other Stack Pickles maybe, and I've been to some of the others.
I think there's two right now in Carmel.
See, because there's one over on the northeast side.
Okay.
Up Allisonville, I believe.
Either way, that place is amazing. We went there for a Colts game a couple months back. Let's jump into it today, Cody.
All right.
Our main topic is really just going to be getting to know you. This week, next week we're shooting for a Game of Thrones episode, so tune in for that. It is currently February 9th as we record this. This will release on the 11th, which means Walking Dead has been back.
Yep.
Do you watch The Walking Dead?
I do not. Unfortunately, my wife and I. yep, cut the audio. Unfortunately, my better half. I'll say that because I'm getting ready to insult her slightly. She's really good about sitting down when I start to watch a show and be like, "Oh, this is great! I really like this." And we'll watch like 4 or 5 episodes. It's great, and then she just never cares to watch it again. Mm-hmm. So we've been on episode 4 of season 1 of The Walking Dead for about 3.5 years now.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
So there's like a 4-year limit, 4 or 5 year limit. So 2 years from now, I'm just gonna start watching it without her.
Yeah, I think the statute of limitations on that is gonna be gone.
Exactly.
Well, for the rest of us, we're in for some excitement. It would seem that our team has left the prison. So if you go to youtube.com/followernetworks, you can see mine and Chad from Mad Chat. You can see our instant reaction and discussion on the show, and we would love to get your feedback on it. So do that, youtube.com/followernetworks. Now, Geek Movie of the Week, Mr. Cody.
All right. We chose this because I watched it last weekend. It's a really kind of twisted film. It's Europa Report, which came out in 2013. You can actually instantly watch it on Netflix.
It was with Netflix getting all these 2013 movies. I watched Jack Reacher last night. I feel like that was just in theaters.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I need to find that then.
It was good. It was real good.
I read something somewhere where they are renegotiating some untold number of millions of dollars to get movies faster. So if you don't have Netflix, it's supposedly getting better soon.
Well, I'm loving it. I watched Jack Reacher and the new Red Dawn last night.
Nice.
Yeah, and I almost, like, Europa Report was on the list of things that I would probably like. I almost clicked it, and I was like, nah, I'll check out Jack Reacher. I feel like some more, like, you know, fighting, action-y movie right now.
You chose for spy and, you know, hegemony as opposed to space film.
Well, and I watched Red Dawn, the remake, and so I was like, man, that movie needs Tom Cruise in it, like the original. And so then I watched, you know, Jack Reacher to get my Tom Cruise fill for the night.
Tom Cruise fill. There's a joke there. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
As then he would fill a cup because he's tiny.
Yeah, probably.
Him just a little guy.
Oh, so short. So short.
So, Europa Report. You told me it was like Apollo 18, which for those of you that don't know, Apollo 18 is the last Apollo mission, supposedly, and it was where they found life on the moon, and they were attacked by it, and it's a really crazy, scary kind of fucking flick.
Yeah, it's slightly, I mean, in the same style that Apollo 18 was supposed to be this mockumentary sort of revealing of originally found footage.
Yeah, it was a found footage flick too, like paranormal shit.
Yeah, ever since you know the Blair Witch Project, everyone thinks that's the cool way to go. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
You know what? When the Blair Witch came out, I gotta say this. When the Blair Witch came out, I was in my senior year of high school, and it was listed as not rated because it was a documentary at the time.
Right.
And nothing had come out about it being fake. It was all supposed to be found footage, like, for real.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went opening night, and, like, I went home that night, and I was freaked the fuck out. Slept with the lights on, because it wasn't just a horror movie. It was like, this shit is real.
Yeah.
There's a goddamn witch in the world. And then,
she,
like,
makes you stand in the corner and does horrible things to you.
And then, like, 2 nights later, all the people were on Letterman. I was like, god damn it. I'm an idiot. So
it happens. Well, Europa Report is I actually found it because as we're discussing me and my interests and whatnot, it's very, you know, sort of vain show for me today, I guess. I'm a big Lovecraft fan, mm-hmm. and the Lovecraft e-zine recently put out a list of the top Lovecraft style films you could watch on Netflix, and Europa Report was one of them.
Who is this Lovecraft of which you speak, sir?
Oh, that would be Mr. H.P. Lovecraft, who is...
Harry Potter Lovecraft, got it.
Yep, close enough. Howard Philip Lovecraft was a writer in the mid-20s, late 30s. He died really young, really strange guy, but he wrote a lot of cosmic stories. He was into, everyone knows Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. You probably know the Necronomicon. He's the original origin for that. But what's cool about him is that he worked with a bunch of other writers of his day, both before his time and then after his death. And they sort of created this whole pantheon religion bizarreness that perpetuates to this day, which is why people believe the Necronomicon is real and things like that. So he's a really crazy. Twisted writer.
So, like, I mean, I've seen the Necronomicon in, of course, the Evil Dead movies. It was in the recent Cabin in the Woods. I've seen it in a bunch of stuff, actually. Wasn't it just in, Being Human, the Canadian version?
I was going to say, I haven't seen that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. That's fun. I didn't know that that came from there. And Cthulhu, I mean, there's the Cult of Cthulhu by Metallica.
Yep.
Cthulhu is the big beast in Hellboy.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. I had no idea that came from Lovecraft.
Yeah, originally I think that was supposed to be the monster in Cloverfield, too. It was supposed to be Cthulhu. But what's brilliant is if you go back and read these guys, they all kind of got together as a writer circle. There's even a story they published where they passed it from person to person, and each person wrote a chapter. But these guys would get together and they would, you know, Lovecraft would write a story about this weird god named Nyarlathotep. And then some other guy would be like, oh, hey, Nyarlathotep's really cool, so I'm going to write about him. So if you look at this from our perspective, here are all these guys writing about these weird cults and things. And you're like, oh, my God, maybe this is real. So then people start portraying it as real, and then people start putting up, oh, wouldn't it be funny to auction off the Necronomicon at a big auction? And suddenly that pops up, and wow. So it just kind of self-perpetuates its own mythos. It's really cool.
So that was like the first real expanded universe.
Yeah, you definitely could argue that, because he pulls from things that were written 20, 30 years before him, and there's a writer named August Derleth who really, 10, 15, 20 years after his death, I'm not quite sure, he really started consolidating it and creating an established pantheon. And then the gaming companies like Chaosium out of England, they create a game called Call of Cthulhu. Like you said, Metallica picks it up. It shows up all over pop culture. Cthulhu's kind of the new hit thing these days.
Giant space squid monster. Yeah, it's the new in. Cthulhu yep. Is the new Godzilla. Wow. I had no idea about Lovecraft doing that. That's awesome. Yeah, so you were saying, what's Europa Report about then?
So Europa Report is this. Obviously, they want to go to the moon Europa, which is around Jupiter. Very much, if anyone's ever seen 2001 Space Odyssey, it's very much that feel, that confined feel. We're all trapped in this together, and we're going off on the spaceship to check out the moons of Jupiter, particularly Europa. But what it is it's mostly film documentary style. So what they do is obviously it takes them something like 2 years to get there, which I don't even know if that's physically possible, but,
I think it's 2 years right now for a trip to Mars. Does that sound right? 2 years to like 18 months.
So anyway, they jump in the ship and they're set off and, they've got all these cameras everywhere. And they're constantly updating back to Earth. This is supposed to be in the near future, I think. I'm not sure when exactly, but. So they send off all these astronauts, and they're going to go explore Europa, but we're getting constant feedback. Like, people are following them on Twitter, and they're keeping live shots of them.
Oh, wow.
And then all of a sudden, they're halfway there, and the footage just stops. So you find that out in, like, the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie. So at first, it's like this weird sort of after-the-fact documentary with, like, in-the-chair interviews with scientists and, guys in mission control. But then you find out that they were able to send back more footage at a later date because they end up making it to Europa. But it's very tense. It's very they do a really good job, sort of like the Blair Witch Project did, with conveying the fact that you're watching this, that it's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
They go out in space and, they're wearing the spacesuits, but it's all shaky cams attached to their spacesuits. There's no establishing shots. There's no
love the gorilla camera style.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because it's the viciousness of space, it's the harsh planet, the fact that they're looking for water, when they discover things, is it life, is it not life, how far are we going to go to discover this knowledge? And one of the main themes that they keep repeating is what is it worth to figure this out? We have this accident halfway through, do we put on the brakes and turn around, or are we going to complete the mission? This bad thing happens. What do we do? What's your life worth for that information for the rest of mankind? So, really cool and interesting movie.
Well, I'm intrigued, sir. Thank you for not spoiling it. I forgot to say that at the beginning. Like, don't spoil the movie because it's on my radar. I want to watch this flick.
No, everything that I have just said probably gets established within the first 20 minutes of the film. It's nothing I said spoiled the ride. But what's interesting is if you're following along, you're getting little clues the whole time, and it's like, oh, okay, I think I'm seeing this picture being built. But I will say, my father uses our Netflix, so he's the one who originally had me add this to the instant queue.
Okay.
When I went back to play it, he had stopped about 14 minutes in, because my dad is like immediate, if I don't like it, I'm shutting it off and I'm watching something else. Mm-hmm. This is not a film where you're going to sit down, you know, with a bunch of guys and a bunch of beers. Exactly. Like, you need to sit down, lights off, and kind of experience it.
Hmm. Well, very interesting. I'll have to check that out this week. That's exciting. I've seen that on Netflix. I've seen it in at the Redbox, I believe. I think I've seen it at the Family Video as well. So it's out there, guys. Check it out. Your Geek Movie of the Week, Europa Report.
Let us know what you think.
Who's in it? Anybody famous?
No one that I noticed. I might even be foreign here. I'm looking at the IMDb and none of the names. Daniel Wu looks familiar, but the name doesn't ring a bell to me.
Hmm.
He's the only one I think I knew, but
Daniel Wu.
I'm not seeing anything in the last 5 years he's made that I know. So, I didn't really recognize anyone.
Fair enough. You know what? I'm just going to fucking play devil's advocate and look it up too while I'm talking to you.
Fair enough.
What have you, Cody, it's time for our What We've Been Reading this week.
All right.
Or as I like to call it, I want to write my comic book purchasing off on my taxes research. So, what have you been reading? What's going on out there in the comics world, sir?
This past week, because, I mean, obviously we can't film in the record in the future. It's a very light week for me. I only picked up 4 books, I think, which mm-hmm. is really rare. The thing that struck me the most that I read this week has to be, which kind of teases our verses here. There was a comic that came out this week called Loki, Agent of Asgard, #1.
Oh, that's fun.
It's Kid Loki. For those of you not up on the Loki-ness, he apparently, which I didn't know it either until I started reading this particular comic, but apparently Loki in the Marvel Universe has died at some point. And so he has been reborn as Kid Loki, the slightly effeminate-looking teenager.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up the cover of this actual comic, it's really bizarre-looking. And it looks like they're playing off of the popularity of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, it looks like, you know, they're just selling it out.
Yeah.
But I picked it up, opened the first page, and the first page shows Loki with a full-on broadsword stabbing Thor right through the back.
Okay.
And the only words on it, it's full page, the only words on it says, "Trust me, I know what I'm doing." I was like, I'm sold. I'm going to read this because it's going to be fun. It's not serious. It's goofy. But anyone who likes that kind of bizarre story, it's a lot of fun.
It's cool. I mean, we had a Loki saturation lately with between the Avengers and the Thor movies. And then even in the comics, Loki's been running pretty heavy. Also in the cartoons, the Earth's Mightiest Heroes Avengers, then the Avengers Assemble. We've had Loki in both of those. So it's good to see a new Loki story taking a different view.
Yeah, Middleton just killed it on screen. And I think since then you've seen Loki saturation because everyone realizes. Hiddleston, excuse me. Thank you. You are my fact checker. Hiddleston was fantastic in all the films he's been in.
Yeah, he's something else. So what else? So Loki, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
God Agent damn. Of Asgard.
What's the acronym for Asgard stand for, I wonder?
Oh, boy. They really wanted our name to be Asgard.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reference. Follow Rancor's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Every Wednesday after the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC.
There you go. Shameless plug. I like it.
Mm.
Setting it up, you knock it down.
Spike. Bump set spike.
There we go. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that I read God is Dead, mm-hmm. which is a nice thing by Jonathan Hickman, sort of gods come back to Earth and just lay waste to each other and are just murdering each other, and humankind is like all kinds of, you know, just destroyed because of this,
like,
major
the Greek
apocalypse.
Gods or?
Oh, we've got Greek gods, we've got African gods, we've got Egyptian gods, we've got Chinese gods, like,
well, that is,
you
interesting.
Know. It's bizarre. It's Avatar Press, which is really kind of a low-tier, you know, publishing company, but they got Jonathan Hickman because they probably said, "Hey, Jonathan Hickman, will you write something for us? Because your name will sell lots of books."
Do whatever you want, sir.
Exactly. And so it's just him just laying waste. I mean, the art is meh. The story is bizarre, but it's overly violent, as Avatar is kind of known to do sometimes. But it is pretty interesting. He keeps taking some really weird turns.
Very good.
Do you have anything yourself that you've read lately that?
I did Walking Dead 120.
There we go.
I'm up to now. So we are at the height of the war right now, and it's getting pretty good. Full on assaults on Alexandria. Which, if you don't know what that is, I don't want to ruin it for you. So go to your local library and get Walking Dead Compendium number 1 and number 2, and that'll pretty much catch you up. Let's see. The Ultimate Marvel stuff I'm reading, the Cataclysm storyline, is getting pretty crazy. I guess the ultimate version of Kitty Pryde, they are going to use Pym particles to supersize her and have her go into Galactics and fuck him up from the inside out. So
interesting.
Yeah, so see how that works. It'd be kind of different. yeah, because in that universe, the mutants are still, like, hunted like crazy. So the X-Men have to – they're complete covert ops now. But S.H.I.E.L.D. just showed up and was like, please, we need your help. Captain America was all – Captain America is the president of the United States right now. So it's a very different Marvel. Very fun.
Yeah. I say, because did you – you said you read Hunger, right, coming out of the ultimate line, the tie-in with Galactus and why he's trying to destroy Earth this time. Did you read Hunger?
No, I didn't. I read Ultimate Marvel Disassembled was the last storyline where Reed Richards and the Hulk and Bruce Banner team up as villains, which is supremely fun. And then it stopped on my pull list. And, like, I don't read the trades, like, what's coming.
Gotcha.
So, like, when that canceled, I went a week without any comics from them, and I was like, wait, where's my fucking Ultimate shit? And they said, oh, this has happened. So then I got started getting the Cataclysm stuff.
Nice. And I may have mentioned this on the podcast before. It's weird. I remember talking to you and saying these things. I don't know if I said it on the podcast or not, so I'll say it quickly. But I know that New Avengers, because I kind of feel like they're trying to end the Ultimate Universe, and right now New Avengers, they're having this collapsing multiverse as the Earths cross over and destroy each other. They just, in New Avengers last issue, they've created a mirror. So for the last couple of issues, you see our, you know, regular Marvel Universe looking in on the various Earths 6, 7, 8, 9 and 4, 2, 5, 3 or whatever, and watching them get destroyed by these other people so that they can prepare to save 616. So I wonder if they're going to look through and see Galactus destroying the Ultimate Universe if they decide to end it.
Maybe. You know, Galactus is a messed up character because the universe requires Galactus. So if you defeat Galactus, your universe ends.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't fight Galactus, your world ends for sure, maybe your entire universe. Such a gamble with him. And beyond that, I picked up Batman number 27, but I haven't read it yet. I'm a little behind on my Batman reading.
Shame.
Yeah, I think I got to read 24, 25, 26, 27 right now.
Brothel timeout.
Oh, I got to go stand in the corner.
Oh, that's where the witch gets you.
Oh, shit.
Full circle. Wow,
bringing it around. Cody Grady, thank you, sir.
Yep, no problem. Segway.
Okay, so that's what we've been reading. You guys out there in listener land, the best thing you can do to cement geek culture where it belongs. I don't mean this, you know, it's chic to be geek shit right now, where you go to Hot Topic and get your fucking black frame glasses and like, hey, I'm such a nerd girl, I like Doctor Who. No, I mean support it at its root. Go to your local brick and mortar comic shop, fucking find something you like, and subscribe to it. Have them pull you one every month, okay? Get them to up their orders. That's how you keep the stuff around and keep it growing, okay?
Preach it.
Thank you. Get off my
soapbox. And let me know what you're reading, because I'm always looking for new and cool stuff to read.
Yeah. I don't know why you're not reading The Walking Dead. I think you are missing out, sir. You need to go to your local library and get the compendiums. That'll put you at issue 96. Then it's a short 24 issues now to where we're at.
I will get to work on that.
If you don't, the next time I see you, you're borrowing books 1 and 2, which are the first 48 issues.
That would work. That also works.
Yeah, I will make that happen, sir.
Excellent.
All right, versus. Who we got this week, sir?
Well, as inspired by, Loki, Agent of Asgard, I was like, Loki, because Loki's always fun. And it was fun to theorize how he will approach a given situation.
So we've got the trickster god magical being Loki. So who would be the best combatant for him? What did I come up with?
You, sir, came up with the genie from Aladdin.
The genie from Aladdin versus Loki. What the fuck are we going to do? Let's, for starters, we have to reissue the rules. Genie cannot kill.
Nope.
Can't bring you back to the dead. Can't make you fall in love. Those are the rules, right?
Yes, sir.
I feel like there's another one.
No, I think it's just, you can't wish for more wishes.
Oh, and you can't feed him after midnight because he turns into a gremlin. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's like, can't make you fall in love, but it's like, well, that's fine. Can you make her fall asleep so I can have sex with her still? Can you roofie the princess?
There are ways around that love thing, right?
Yeah, like, shit. I don't think I love my wife the first time we had sex.
Going straight to hell.
Yeah, well, no. The look she's giving me right now is really priceless. anywho, how's this fight gonna go out here? Let's see. So it's a couple thousand years ago, the height of Agrabah, I guess.
All right.
In society. And Loki goes in search of magical artifacts, let's say, and he goes to the Cave of Wonders. Hi, buddy. Okay. You are Superman. Good job. Oh my God, Natalie, shut the door. sorry. He goes hunting for magical artifacts. He goes to the Cave of Wonders, which is that big tiger head in the movie, if you don't remember.
Yep.
Goes in there, finds the lamp, rubs it, and out comes the genie, and the genie immediately senses Loki's nefarious plot, and he does everything he can to defy him. What's going to happen? The genie tricks Loki into freeing himself, so now the genie's free and can do battle with Loki. Loki's no longer his master. What's going to happen?
All right. See, this is the thing. Loki is always interesting when he has to actually fight, because he's not, I mean, he's the trickster god, right? He doesn't do physical confrontation. He can, but I feel like the first thing, well, here we go, nerd image. First thing he would do is probably cast Mirror Image out of the third edition D&D book and have like 9 versions of himself.
And then he would send magic missiles towards his gnome army. Sorry. Cody, practice your nerd voice. It's fun to do.
It's fantastic.
No, good job, sir. Okay, but, so Mirror Image, which we actually saw in the Avengers.
Yes, we did.
When he's surrounding that crowd. Oh, he did it in one of the Thor movies, too. Thor, the first one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go. That's a viable option. Does his mirror image. So the genie's now confused?
I believe so, yeah. Well, see, here's the question. Is it all magic? Is magic all the same? Is the genie going to, like, immediately know, oh, fourth one from the right, and then shoot a fireball out of his finger or magic dust or whatever he's got?
No, let's predispose that they are of an equal level.
All right, fair enough.
And also that their bodies are corporeal.
All right.
So while they can disappear and, say, teleport away.
There's fleshy stuff there.
There's still flesh there. So they are still living and breathing. So let's see. The genie breaks into a song and dance number about how Loki's an asshole. It's actually from Dennis Leary. He's like, you're an asshole, leo, leo, leo. No, that's, sorry.
Great song.
Poor joke.
So any thoughts on how the genie combat? So Mirror Image, he's now casting his ultimate killing spell. There are 7 choices. What does the genie do to, combat that?
Well, clearly the genie, because the genie acts as a cartoon would.
Right.
He's the Bugs Bunny. So he's going to put on goofy armor. he's probably going to ride a horse with when something's in the wrong time period, an anachronistic, like a jousting lance, you know, and a horse, a steed, and his armor and chainmail and shit.
Yeah,
exactly. And while he's poofing all of that into existence, Loki's going to launch his attack and probably stab him in the fucking heart.
Let's say, well, there you go. The thing that I like about the genie is the comedy magic should still work, a la Roger Rabbit.
Or the mask, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that he would just barrel roll right into him, trample him down with the horse, knock him to the side, whatever, disrupt his magical death ray or whatever he happens to be casting.
And you know what? The genie actually ends up locking Loki in a mask and sending it to Edge City. where it is then found by Stanley Ipkiss.
We've only, you know, destroyed what three creative or intellectual properties right now.
Oh my god! Do you ever read the Mask comics back in the day?
No, I have never read the Mask comics,
dude. There's a great one where it's a crossover with Batman.
Oh boy!
That's for my son here. Daddy. Joe, you gotta go be quiet, buddy.
Daddy.
I'm almost done. I promise.
Daddy.
Hi, son.
Okay.
Come up here. Can you be quiet? You gotta be quiet.
Beth.
It's not Beth.
Daniel.
It's Cody.
Cody. Hi, Cody.
Hi, Joe.
He says, hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Cody.
You have Ovaltine on your face.
Cody?
Yummy Ovaltine.
Yeah, I bought him some today because of the vitamins in it. Go with mommy.
Now he needs Tang. Tang is delicious. I love that as a kid.
Okay. Let's get going here. I gotta relieve my wife from kid duty.
No problem.
the great storyline in The Mask where crosses over with Batman, where the mask ends up in Gotham City and the Joker gets it and puts it on and nothing happens.
See what they did there.
Already completely unbidden. You know, nice. That's the whole thing is that the mask opens you up, lets you become Loki in the sense that you have no inhibitions.
So, yeah.
Since there's nothing holding back the Joker just puts it on, nothing happens. He's like, well, fuck this. And he leaves. Just walks
away.
That's
great.
Yeah, that fucked
Man,
up.
Batman crossovers from back in the day, like Batman versus Predator.
Oh my god, I have that run.
That's so ridiculous.
The first one.
That's so weird.
It's not ridiculous. What's ridiculous is that he ends up beating the Predator with a baseball bat.
Well, yeah.
Like, the Batman literally bats to death a fucking Predator. Oh, that's so good. That's a good series. I get that one out. I don't even care about keeping it, like, mint. I reread that one every year, probably.
Oh, man. It's so weird. So weird.
It's so weird. And then the Batman Batman and Spawn team up.
Yeah.
Where Batman throws a batarang into Spawn's face and cuts him, like, right down the middle. Which stayed in the storyline forever.
They're trying to get McFarlane to draw a Spawn Spider-Man crossover. I saw that in the news the other day.
Now that would be wicked because, first of all, they're both in New York. McFarlane used to do Spider-Man. That was his big claim to fame for a long time. The Spider-Man, the Spawn and Batman crossover was great because it was written by Frank Miller.
Oh boy!
And illustrated by McFarlane.
Nice.
So it was like, I wanted it to put its dick in me. That's how it was. Just saying. okay, so for the verses, probably who's going to win? The Loki, I'd imagine, right?
Say sooner or later, the cartoon stuff is only going to get you so far before Loki does something
and
horribly
Loki's
violent.
To kill.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Precedence.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'm sure the genie could wish for, like, a pit of spikes underneath Loki. That's not really wishing for him to die, you know? But, yeah, Loki is, I think, ultimately more mischievous and going to cause, you know, a fatality for the genie.
Fatality. All right, cool. Well, that settles that. Loki wins. The genie goes down. Poor Aladdin, just when he goes down later to the Cave of Wonders, he's just stuck there forever till he starves to death. He eats a boo. he wraps himself up. He unthreads the magic carpet to make a rope to hang himself with before starvation takes him.
That's dark.
You should go back in time here and listen to the verses where we had Ash from Pokemon have to put down Pikachu because Pikachu got rabid.
Oh no!
And so he's like, he's holding Pikachu under the water, drowning him, crying, and through his tears, just saying, "I choose you, Pikachu." Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, that's where we go here at the Rancor's Brothel, Cody. Get used to it.
I like it. I like it.
Okay, so our main focus for today is getting to know you, friend.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with how I know you.
All right.
Your wonderful wife, Ambrosia, I work with, and she told me forever, like we worked together for quite a while, about 2 years ago, and she kept telling me about how, oh my God, you get along so well with my husband. He is just like you, you big nerds. And she told me about how many comic books you buy weekly. And I was like, wow, If I had that kind of disposable income, I don't think I'd have student loans anymore, but still, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's too many, but I love it.
That's the nature of addiction, sir. Ask Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Bazing.
So we sat 2 years ago at the Christmas party. It was me and my wife, and we sat with you two and our friend Correct. Beth. And Beth, friend of the show, shout out to Beth Terry. Woot. And we had a great time drinking and carrying on and being goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Christmas party this year, again, we were like, hey, let's recreate it. Ambrosia and Cody, come over here and sit with us. And we had Beth with us, and it was a fun time. Again, we got silly. Had you on the show then afterwards. And you are just my new nerdy friend.
Aw, so nice.
It's nice to be 31 and still find new friends, isn't it? It doesn't have to all be grade school.
They just let us play together in the sandbox.
Yay. That sounded dirty.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
A little farther.
Well, it happens. So, Cody.
Yes, sir. Where would you like to start?
The first episode of the Rancor's Brothel you did was all about Gen Con.
Correct.
So you're a gamer, in a tabletop gamer, I mean.
Yes,
I am. Are you a video gamer, too, or...?
I am, but to describe all of my nerdiness in kind of one sound bite, I am like the jack of all trades of nerdiness. I know a little bit about everything, but I jump from you know, subject to genre so much. I'm a bad nerd. If you were like, oh, are you a video game nerd? It's like, well, I buy like 10, 15 video games a year and beat none of them. You know it. So I am a video game nerd, just not very good at finishing games.
Sorry, my child's being loud. Hang on.
No, oh, no, you're fine. My dog seems to enjoy barking each time it gets quiet.
All right. You know what? I actually think that I'm the same way. I'm very like, I have my few things that I'm really into, like Star Wars and what have you. But I try to know a little bit about everything. Like, I've never been able to sit through more than like 2 episodes of Doctor Who. But I know enough to carry on a conversation with a fan.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? So.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
I think we're on the same page there, bud. What are those things, though, that really get you? What are your big, like, what? When do you have to whip your precious out and compare it to somebody else?
Well, I love showing off my comic book collection. When you come for the Ash show, you'll definitely have to swing by and take a look, because it's extensive. And I've only been seriously collecting for like the last maybe 2.5 years or so, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what other things really?
Now, do you use any kind of online like just logging of your comic books?
I don't. Backup? I mean, this is one of the things that we should get into sometime. Collecting as a monetary hobby, I'm really, really bad at, but collecting and organizing, as I say, I really like keeping things in order and stuff. So like, you could literally walk over and be like, hey, do you read Swamp Thing? And I'll be like, yeah. Do you have Swamp Thing 12? I'll find it in less than 5 seconds, because I'll know exactly where it's at. But as far as keeping track, so keeping them in order, yes. Keeping track of them monetarily and that worth and grading them, no, not so much.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's a great idea, especially for a homeowner like yourself that has a collection like this. You know, homeowner's insurance, you have to keep lists of what you own to get it refunded in case of a fire.
Yeah.
So we're using www.stashmycomics.com.
It's a great website. I've seen it before.
And the great thing about it is you can make your profile public. So like, if you have a friend that's interested, you know, maybe doing collecting, or maybe, I don't know, maybe they want to get you a fucking Christmas present. They want to see what you're into. They can look at what your collection is. You know, you update it weekly after you go buy your books on Wednesday. Nice. And it's a really great website. We've been slowly putting my catalog on there.
So maybe my wife and I will have to sit down and actually do that. We can make it like a Rancor's Brothel thing, so you can see what we own, what we've been reading.
Well, and the really nice thing about it too is, like you said, you know, looking at these things from a monetary point of view isn't part of it for you. That's part of it for me. Like, I'll buy a series just to resell it. Like I don't need New Mutants 1 through 24 because I don't give a shit about the New Mutants. But they were a buck or less each, so it was a good investment.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I can
I'll do that.
Huh?
I was going to say, I'll do that occasionally. If I see new books for a dollar and they're, you know, first runs, I might pick them up or something, you know. But
or go to Half Price Books, look at the comics, then go to the collectible section and get the CBG.
Yeah.
Look up the price of the books and see how they have them priced and then purchase them. That's my favorite game to play. But the great thing is, as time progresses and as value increases on these things, that's all accounted for on this website.
Oh, very cool.
So if, you know, like Natalie pulled out, I have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 4 from back in the day. She puts it on there, $75.
Nice.
I hadn't looked that up. I didn't know. But it comes up on there, $75. Like, that's great to know.
Yeah, it is.
So that way you can get all your, you can get full value then too. In case of some kind of a fire, an incident, or a theft, or whatever. So, good to know that stuff. Check it out, www.stashmycomics.com.
There you go.
Again.
The more you know. Let's see, what other loves can I tell you? Like you mentioned, I did go to Gen Con. I like games, and I nerd out beyond just your typical, like, you know, miniatures, RPG gaming, that kind of stuff. Like, it's as far as I'm a pretty big baseball fan. So sports, anything that involves some sort of level of competition where there's manipulation of other people or strategy. I think it's my own vain attempt to prove I'm smarter than everybody else. So it's a way to prove it, because I can beat you in a game with little plastic figurines.
Proves my intellectual superiority. I may not swing for the fences, but...
That's true. I'll try.
My level 3 Hulk is going to beat your level 2 Spider-Man.
Exactly. Let's see what else. I haven't pulled them out in forever. I'm a huge Magic card collector, too. At least I used to be.
Wow.
I have maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 6,000 cards. Probably 25-ish playable decks that I have right now. So somebody could be like, hey, you want to play? I'd be like, which rule set are we playing?
You know what? That's Chad's thing right there, Follow Network CEO. Yeah. You'd get on well with him.
It's such a great game. I have a buddy who he's the one who kind of got me into it. He owned a store at one point. He owned so many cards. He like literally opened it with his own personal collection to start with. And he always said it's like chess, except every 2 months you get all new pieces, which is why I think a lot of people enjoy that hobby.
And see, I think that change is what prevented me from really being able to get into it.
It is hard.
I had
hard.
Gotten a starter deck back in the day to play with my friends, and they tried to teach me, and I just couldn't grasp it.
It is hard. I buy new cards, and I sit here and go, wait, they invented... Because, you know, obviously, if they invented a rule in a certain set, they explain it in detail in that set. But if you go to the next set, you know, then they'll just say the rule is flanking.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll explain flanking really well on the cards for that set, but after they go to the next set, you just get like a little blurb, and if you go to the set after that, it just says, oh, flanking, because they assume by now they've put out maybe nine blocks of cards, you should have it figured out by now. So if you get out of it for, you know, longer than 6 months to a year, you can easily lose track of what the rules are.
See, that's so in-depth. That is such a commitment.
It,
I feel like I would neglect my wife if I was in a Magic the Gathering.
That's why you just leave them. I have a buddy, actually, who keeps his cards in his trunk all the time. So it's just like somebody pulls up and is like, hey, you guys want to play some Magic? Boom, Magic card decks. Let's go.
Wow. Well, good to know that there are people out there like that, that instead of making meth on their cards, they just keep nerd factories in their trunks.
Yep. Solid way to go.
I love it. All right, so we got our gaming. What else tickles your fancy, sir?
Oh, I'm a big reader too, beyond comic books. So I read a lot of sci-fi, spy movies. I like weird fiction, obviously, like I mentioned Lovecraft earlier. Mm-hmm. But I'll read just about anything. I've always enjoyed reading, so that's another big thing for me. I have hundreds of books, probably.
Cool. That's something I for me to read something. There's got to be a fantastical element in it. I mean, I read voraciously, and I read a lot, but like my so again, Follow Network's CEO Chad Edelbrick, he reads a lot of like help yourself books and like how to build a, you know, a business or whatever. I cannot do it. It's too much like school. I just can't do it. Everything, there's gonna be a fucking dragon in it.
Fair enough. It's like I said, for me, I'll read just about anything. You if you came and looked at the shelves, you'd see everything from, the latest Tom Clancy novel to, you know, some ancient book from, like, 1914 that's a first printing of some philosophy. Wow. And I won't say that I've read all of them. I definitely have not, but I intended to when I bought every single one of them.
Isn't that always the way?
Yes.
That's why I still have a copy of Siddhartha from 15 years ago.
Someday you'll read it.
I tried, man. It's rough.
Walden would be that book for me.
Yeah?
By Thoreau. I think I have 3 or 4 copies of that book, and I love Thoreau because he's, you know, absolutely just he just walked away from society, which I feel like doing on a daily basis. So he's my guy, but I've yet to ever read Walden.
Yeah, he did go off the grid, didn't he?
Yeah.
So Walden is like, did you ever watch Lost back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
So Desmond had A Tale of Two Cities as the last of his Dickens books to read. Mm-hmm. So, like, is that going to be your Walden? Like, you read Walden and then immediately you drop dead?
It just could be. Like, it's like one of those works I've seen quoted. I've read snatches of it, snippets of it. You know, open it up, snatches. Read a chapter. I knew as soon as I went there, it's like, oh, God, wrong word.
Pussy.
But, yeah. Every time it gets warm and you want to sit outside, I'm like, I pick up Walden. It's like, this is going to be the year I read Walden. And then I read something else.
Excellent, excellent. How are you on cons, besides the Ash, you know, comic shows? Do you try to hit things that are local, or?
Not. I would like to more. Because the thing is I'm the ultimate misanthrope. Like, I watch, I watch the Christmas Carol because I sympathize with Scrooge in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Because people kind of suck.
And so unfortunately, you're a sociopath. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
A little bit. The man just wanted him to come in, you know, early the next day. I mean, come on. Is that too much to ask? Terrible.
You get a day off paid, Jesus. That's not that bad. Mean,
come on. Just a little earlier the next day? You gotta haunt him with ghosts? Tell him he's gonna die alone? Jeez.
Oh, and heaven forbid a mortgage lender, you know, repo a home when somebody doesn't pay on time. That's what you do. Not to make fun of the housing crisis from 2008, but seriously.
Hey, that's how we got our home, so I'm not gonna complain about it.
Yeah, God bless the FHA. Thank you, thank you, Franklin.
And now we're on the NSA's watch list.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Because we said something about the government things.
Dude. You know what? Someday I'll log you in and show you our demographics of where we're downloaded at. Like 20% of our downloads are to Langley and Washington. So, yeah, we're getting listened to for sure.
Great.
Yeah. So,
no international flights for me.
I forgot to tell you that in the interview process for co-hosting. Sorry.
It's always that fine print you should read.
The reason I was asking about cons, there is the Indie Pop Con this year.
Really?
Which is going to be all pop culture stuff.
Interesting. Now, is that different from the one in March that you were talking about?
Well, okay, so March is going to be Indie Comic Con.
Right, okay.
And Fallen Everest has been having a lot of trouble dealing with them. Getting a booth or getting press credentials. But it looks like the guys at Indie PopCon are being much more helpful. So,
oh, sweet.
And we've heard from some folks that we've been dealing with on Kickstarter that have started up new comic projects. And as trying to produce our own comic books, you know, we're trying to stay in the loop and talk to other folks that are doing what we're doing. And they are going to PopCon over Comic-Con.
Nice.
So we're, you know, it's... It's the last weekend of May is Indie PopCon, I think. You know, it's just like it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's not a whole week long craziness or nothing. But it should be pretty cool. Let me look it up here real quick while we're on here, and I'll give the right date.
Yeah, it's always
May
important.
30th through June 1st.
Hmm.
Here in Indianapolis. Let me just go to the website. Fuck it. Let's plug this shit. Yeah, so we're, you know, we're looking at going and doing some stuff, showing off some comics we've been making, or maybe even just doing the press thing and interviewing folks. One con to rule them all, it says. be 150,000 square feet of comics, cosplay, video gaming, internet culture, entertainment, and more. Stay tuned. We are just getting started. And they got a whole bunch of stuff here. It'll be the convention center in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, they must be using the main floor then, 150,000 feet.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
That's big.
So
no, the convention, Indiana, I say this all the time, Indianapolis is the best convention center, or the best convention city in the country.
Well, we're just equidistant from everywhere.
And it's so easy to travel.
If you're staying in town, I mean, 90% of the hotels are right there anyway, downtown.
And you can walk through the skywalk, so you don't even have to worry about walking outside if the weather's bad. Like,
yeah,
no,
that is nice. Conventions
in Indianapolis are great. I'm just, like I said, I hate people, so crowds are always a bit of an issue, but no.
Thank you, me too. Oh my god, I hate crowds of people. My wife has to fight with me so bad to go shopping, like, between November and January.
Oh yeah, I hate it.
Ugh.
Hate it.
Hey, check out this tagline. Bigger, better, geekier.
Nice. No, but yeah, no, I think conventions are a great thing. People should go out there and get them. While we're plugging conventions, I did think of one other one I've been to before. You should put it on your radar, In Conjunction.
Yes, I know that's a big one. Friends of mine from another podcast, Chris and Chris Take Over the World, they are what I will call con junkies, at least Crystal is. They go to, she performs at a lot of them. She's a folk singer.
And, nice.
But she goes to a lot of stuff here in the Midwest, a lot of Chicago cons and stuff down here, down this way, a little farther south. But yeah, they In Conjunction last year, they were on a panel for podcasting for, I believe. And I think the year before that, I think they helped plan the damn thing. So
nice.
Yeah. When's that one? I want to go to that too.
I pulled it up. It is July 4th through the 6th.
Okay.
And that is, for anyone who does the Ash, I believe it's the same. It's at the Indianapolis Marriott East, which I'm pretty sure is right there off of 20, right there where 70 hits 21st at, not College, at Allisonville, maybe?
Maybe.
I think it's Allisonville and 21st. But I went there once for a job I was working, and it is... I mean, it is a Trekkie, Star Wars, people, or, you know, women walking around in red wigs dressed like Leelu, total kind of place. It is.
Leelu.
Oh. It was cool.
Here we go. At Indie PopCon this year, you can meet Joel Hodgson, creator and star of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Nice.
The comedy duo Pollen Storm. You may have heard of them from another group they were in called Da Vinci's Notebook.
Nice.
Very funny guys. Kevin Eastman, so I'd be bringing my Ninja Turtles number 4 to get autographed. That's co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just so we're clear. John DiMaggio, that's the voice of Bender. Also the dog from Adventure Time, Gears of War. He's a huge voiceover guy, big talent.
Mm-hmm.
Esme Bianco from Game of Thrones. I don't know who she is, but God, she's hot. Oh, fuck me running. Shit.
This is a pretty extensive list.
Yeah, Norm Brig. This is just what they have so far. I mean, there's still people signing up. Norm Breyfogle is a big DC artist and illustrator from Silver into Bronze Age. I never heard of this guy, so I'm just going to skip him.
Sorry, bro.
Fantasy and sci-fi artist Dave Dorman. I've seen some of his Star Wars stuff. Disney animation director and illustrator Tom Bancroft. So, bringing you the genie. So, yeah, they got some stuff going right now. They are in talks with a lot of sci-fi celebrities. I've heard a lot of Battlestar Galactica talk, and I've heard some Star Trek or Star Wars? Fuck. I heard some kind of Star Something was going to be there.
Nice.
People something from Star. Films or shows.
I see. It also looks like Stuart Sager, who I've met at Ash conventions before, he's one of the local indie comic book artists who's absolutely fantastic. If you've never met him, he's a great guy. Doctor Who North America, which is the, I believe, the largest collection of Doctor Who memorabilia, is right here in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It's outside, I think I said in North America. Yeah. Very cool. Looks like a lot of local guys as well as, men and women coming from outside of the state as well.
I can't wait. I don't know Kevin Eastman's going to be there. I'm so fucking excited. I'm going to totally just walk around with that number 4. Because it's like the cover of it is like when Ninja Turtles hit big and they wanted to put the logo on different things and pictures of them, they couldn't get it from the animation artist in Korea.
Uh-huh.
So they had to go back to stuff from the comics. And so the cover of number 4 is what was used on the video game.
The
arcade
nice.
Games. And just this very classic picture. When you think of 80s Ninja Turtles, this is the picture you see in your head.
Nice.
So it's a real sweet key issue to have. Very excited about this. So I'm going to get that the fuck autographed.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I will stand in line for 3 days. I don't give a shit. Mr. Eastman, please sign this.
I'm your biggest fan, just like every other guy who stood in line for the last 4 hours.
Validate my existence with a pen, sir.
Brayfogle's going to be in. Now there's that.
Yeah, I said
cool.
Brayfogle.
I wasn't paying attention, sorry. I was totally lost. Already failing on the first show.
It's all good, sir. At least you're not. No offense to Dustin, but he did one time say to me, "What's a Rancor?"
Aww.
He actually said it all the time, but the one time he was serious.
My buddy who I introduced to the show, actually, I told him that it was called Rancor's Brothel, and he just started laughing. He's like, yep, yep,
it's,
that kind of show.
It's the name of that small town brick and mortar comic shop. That was the idea. Like, in Simpsons, they have the Android's Dungeon.
Nice.
So we're like, okay, so what's the name of an inn we'd go to in Dungeons & Dragons but cross it over with Star Wars? We're like, the Rancor's Brothel, baby.
There you go. Yeah. I like it.
So, I think from here at the brothel, though, is there anything else you want to pitch or pipe in with? Because I think we're about done here.
No, I think we're running about to time, I believe.
Yeah, so from here at the brothel, we will see you later next week, you know, with Cody, if you let him know that you love him on the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. We will be doing, I believe, Game of Thrones next week. Later this week, you'll see our Rancor's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Battlestar Brothel, which is Dustin and I watching Battlestar Galactica from start to finish. We are in the middle of season 4. We're going to try and do 2 episodes a week and combine it into 1 podcast. So we got to get them done. We're mm-hmm. almost to the end, and we can't wait. So
such a good show. Man,
oh my
it's
God,
great.
It's fucking amazeballs. Beyond that, I got nothing. So we'll see you guys later. Say bye.
Bye.
It's half your show, too. You can say goodbye. Yeah. It's okay.
I was waiting for the pun. Say bye, Cody.
Bye, Cody.
Hey, say bye, Cody.
Bye, Cody.